There's a TV show that several members of our household have gotten into over the last year. It's a game show, and it's called Is It Cake? Some reaction there. Maybe some of you know that song. So the premise, if you're not familiar with it, is there are bakers who are competing to create cakes that look like everyday objects. And then what happens is after the bakers have done their work, a panel of judges stands back and looks at the cakes and the items that they're to look like and tries to decide which is cake and which is not. And of course, the goal is for the baker is to make it look as authentic as possible. And so there's discussion back and forth between the judges, and they try to land on what they think it is. But you never know for sure until the knife test. Then you know when the host goes with the knife and starts to, you know, try to cut the item. And if it cuts, of course, you look at the inside. And then you know what you're looking at, if it's cake or if it's not. What if we had a TV show called Are They Christian? How would you know if you took two people and you stood them up beside each other, and one of them said, I am a Christian, and one of them was not a Christian, but you had to pick just looking at them? How would you know? I mean, you know, the knife test probably isn't going to help you a whole lot, is it? I mean, you can't look at the inside, cut them open and look at the inside and tell an obvious difference. So how do you know? Well, the scripture suggests to us that short of murder, there is a way. There are ways that we can tell. And they have to do with what's inside, like, you know, the inside of cake. It has to do with what's inside, but it also has to do with more than that. Jesus was warning in his Sermon on the Mount about people who claim to speak a message from God that wasn't the real thing. And he said this, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Thus, by their fruit, he says again, you will recognize them. By their fruit. Now, we just finished a sermon series last week on what the writers of the scriptures call fruit of the Spirit. And it's a list that we've seen multiple times in previous weeks, words like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and so on. It's these qualities. And we've said over those weeks, if you are a follower of Jesus, then there must be something genuine happening inside you. Those qualities have to start inside you. Qualities like love and joy and peace, they start inside. Specifically, you have to have opened yourself up to the Spirit of Jesus to live inside you. And when he's there, those qualities will start to grow. But we've also said that it's not enough to just be a spiritual person, to feel in your heart like you're a spiritual person. It's not enough to just have God's presence inside. The fruit has to come out. There's got to be something that comes out that is evident, that is visible. There are these inner qualities that have to have outer expression. I would say it this way: following Jesus calls for unity between what is happening inside of us and what is expressed on the outside. As we follow Jesus, there should increasingly be this unity, this oneness, this sameness between qualities growing inside and the expression of them on the outside. And there are different ways that we can express the reality on the outside. Two of the ways that we can express that inner reality working its way out is through believer's baptism and church membership. They are outward expressions of something happening inside. In baptism, and we have our pool set up here, in baptism, people go under the water. And that symbolizes an inward dying to themselves, a dying of their self-centered ways, of their own agendas. And as they come up out of the water, it symbolizes resurrection, like the resurrection of Jesus being raised to new life in Christ. The life that they're living by an inner faith. But of course, that inner commitment and relationship with Jesus has to be lived out daily, lived out through your values and priorities, your commitments, your words, and your deeds. It's expressed on the outside. And as they come out of the waters, they're emerging as a member of the church family, of the church body, of the local community of those who have been forgiven and are being forever changed by Jesus. And membership is also an inner commitment to a local group of people that is also an outwardly lived reality as we worship God together, as we are in community with each other, and as we are serving God and others. Well, this morning, we're privileged to celebrate these milestones in the life of the church. Now, the pool is ready, and we were looking forward to having a baptism this morning, and then a stomach bug intervened. So the pool is ready, and we won't be using it today. But can I just say, we have an empty pool. And maybe you have not taken the step of baptism, and I'm not going to ask you to do it spontaneously here. But it would be worth considering, you know, the next time the pool is filled up, would it be time for you to take that step of declaring death to yourself and resurrection life in Jesus? I encourage you to take that question with you as you go. We are receiving members today. Those who have been baptized previously elsewhere are taking the step of commitment to our church. And so the way the rest of the service will go is, in a moment, we're going to start to hear a little bit of their stories. We're going to hear from them about a step in their journey that has brought them here. And then we'll receive them into the membership of the church. As you hear their words of testimony, you're going to see them in a couple different ways. Now, if you've been here in a previous Sunday when we've done this, we've had videos, and I got feedback that that was a little intimidating for some people to, you know, see their big face up on the screen. And so you will see a few videos for those that chose that, and then I gave the option to those that didn't to write a statement that they would read or someone else would read for them. So you're going to see a mix of that this morning, but you're going to hear from each one of them in one form or another as they take this step of faith. As they do, I leave you with these questions for all of us. Do my inward commitments and my outward fruit align? It's a good question for all of us. And the question is not, are they in perfect alignment? Because we're probably not going to have that this side of heaven. But increasingly, do your inner commitments and your outer fruit, do they line up? Do they go in the same direction? And then secondly, what does my life say about my faith? Now, it's super important to have faith. But there's something that speaks loudly about the kind of faith that you have. And that is your life. What does your life say about your faith? These are good questions for all of us to wrestle with more and more as we follow Jesus. It's an exciting day for us to share together as we welcome people into the life of our church. So I'm going to invite the kids who are headed out to kids' time to do that now. Kids, you're dismissed. And then we're going to start the videos and share in this time of testimony as we welcome people into the life of the church.
Well, we attended a Episcopal church and growing up, but I can recall, you know, the oldest of five, so by the time the youngest came along. My brother's 10 years younger than me. So by the time we got to that point, we were going to church on Christmas and Easter. But a classmate of mine was the son of the pastor at St. Paul's EUB in Elizabethtown. It's now a Methodist church. And he invited me to pastors at the EUB and actually given me a Bible. So I have a King James Version, red letter edition. And I decided, you know, between my 8th and 9th grade that summer, I said, you know, I've got to make a decision here. So I decided I was going to read that Bible cover to cover before I went back to school. It was such a peace that came over me. I went back to start 9th grade. There were students who said, hey, who's the new kid? Because I didn't realize it, but it was a great change that came over me. Having grown up in the Woodstock era, there were so many friends and acquaintances that, you know, I saw people struggling and suffering with so many different issues that never touched me because I had Jesus there to to walk me through it. It's just so thankful. We have a friend who's a pastor with Dove Ministries, and we had invited them over for a meal, and he looked at our pool in the backyard. We have an in-ground pool, and he said, "Yeah, this would be a great place to have a baptism, yeah, a group." I said, "I would be honored." I said, "Only if we can be two of the participants." But he actually baptized us in our pool. My focus has always been the Bible. Bible has got to be in the forefront, and I've always said that. You know, any church that bends to social or political pressure is not a place for me. I'd have to say my most recent experience that gave me that feeling of calm was deciding to join this congregation. Just thank you all for being so welcoming. It just felt right. From the beginning, we're finally home.
I grew up in a church. I was youngest of 5 children at that time. Grew up in a Mennonite church, and he's always been a part of our life. In grade school, I had gone to Central Manor School at the time, and we could leave the school and walk across the street to a small church, and they had a good news club. The leaders there had a huge impact. We did activities, songs, you know about Jesus, and so I loved that. There were 2 women in a car, young. I think I might have been 14 at the time, and I remember sitting in the back seat, and I don't remember who else was in the back seat with me, and I remember the girl in the front, the passenger side, turned around and looked at me, and she said, "Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior?" And I was just so dumbfounded, because I'm like, I've been in the church all my life. I'm sure I have, but if you don't remember, surely. But right then and there, you know, she said, "Well, we'll pray," and I'm just like, but he's been a part of my life. But yeah, so that was like an aha moment when we wanted to start a family and weren't able to. So many prayers and prayers, and I just felt, oh my gosh, my prayers never going to be answered. They were answered, not in the way that I thought they were going to be answered. So yes, we had adopted our daughter, and that was a huge, I could go on for hours. When we moved away and my husband's job to West Virginia. And, you know, getting through that period in our lives, yes, he was so present. When my husband was diagnosed with cancer, so many, I just, a heart-wrenching time, and he was just so present. I mean, I was, yeah, to even explain to somebody, I mean, it's like, how can you never believe? I could sit down with you and talk to you and tell you in great detail of how things have turned out, you know, whether it's, you know, the way you want him or not, he's definitely there. From the first time I came here, people were very welcoming. You didn't just step in the door, they welcomed you at the door. And a lot of times you'll go in and no one talks to you, you know, you're new, you're definitely the new person. But I never felt like that. I just learned to, you know, find a fellowship group, which was difficult because there were several that I really liked. And I'm like, what do you mean I have to pick one? can I go to, like, you know, every other week, go to a different one? I definitely want to become a part of that Christian family that's here.
Before knowing Christ, I made a lot of bad decisions that I regret now. Thankfully, God has forgiven me for all of them. In high school, I went to Young Life and I heard the gospel message and I began following Jesus. But then when I went to college, I turned in a different direction, kind of gradually, but stopped going to church, stopped reading my Bible. And not that I'd even gotten into the Bible very much before then. So I didn't really have a good grasp of Christianity when I turned away. I kept straying in the opposite direction until I didn't even know if God existed. And this continued all through my 30s. And then I recommitted my life to Christ and said, okay, I'm going to follow Christ and never turn back, whether I feel that he's real or not. It occurred to me that the Bible really makes sense. And I thought, you know, I could have avoided a lot of mistakes in my life had I really taken this to heart way back in high school. There were times that I could really have died that I feel like I was saved and God protected me and God brought things into my life that led me back to him, and to the point where now I don't know what I would do without him. I went through a divorce in my late 30s. He walked out on our marriage and that just devastated me, and God worked so much during that time for me. I mean, I thought I was literally going to die. God just worked so much during that time with bringing good friends into my life, with radio programs that I heard in my church. I was going to Otterbein in Waynesboro, Methodist Church, and that was an excellent church. And the sermons that were preached at that time, they were just for me. He helped me step by step by step. You know, finding a new place to live, finding a new job. I just can't even describe how faithful he was through all of that. And also knew that part of this is my fault. You know, I was not the best wife in my marriage. And I took responsibility for that. I feel like that was a very much a part of God saying he's going to work in my life. I am forgiven. Coming to church on Sundays, it's not a chore and it's not just a responsibility. It is just very rewarding and very, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. We live very close, so that was a reason that we started visiting this church, and we've been connected to a good church for the last 10 years. We taught the children, and so we were committed to being at that church twice a month. You know, before we actually visited EBIC, we would go there four times a month. But when we started visiting EBIC, we kind of thought, well, we kind of want to go to EBIC this morning and not do that drive when we don't have to teach Sunday school. And we got to know a lot of people here. I got involved in the women's Bible study. Glad we finally did it. We kept visiting for so long, probably 2 or 3 years, and were never actually fully a part of the church. And now we are, and we're both just very thankful and happy for that.
My name is David Atherholt, and good morning to all, and this is my testimony. And I'd say my path to Jesus was more of a journey than an immediate awakening. During childhood, we went to many different churches and denominations. That was due to moving around a lot. My dad took me and my brother and sister to Sunday school, and he just dropped us off and picked us up after Sunday school. Mom and Dad only went to church together with us on Easter and Christmas. I'd say we lived with a divided church influence when we were kids. Mom was Catholic, and Dad was not. And I think there was animosity because Dad had to convert to becoming Catholic for them to get married, so I think that carried over in our church lives. I knew about Jesus growing up and believed, but didn't declare my faith openly until later in life. I went to college and was out of school after 3 years under difficult circumstances. I prayed to Jesus for guidance and direction. He delivered. I graduated college with an engineering degree, got married, and had a daughter prior to graduation. Life continued, like for many of us, with work, career, and other goals. I taught Sunday school, was on the Board of Christian Education, but I can't say God was first in my life. There were other things that came before God, and over time I began to realize it. Life and work continued with two more daughters being born. After many years, my wife left us and moved in with another man and did not see our daughters for 2 years. While raising my girls for several years, I took a reduction in job position and tried to maintain their lives and activities as normal as possible, which was great input from a Christian counselor. However, I was struggling. And after years of struggling with raising kids, being a single-parent household, my friend invited me on a mission trip after Hurricane Katrina hit in New Orleans in 2006. This trip had a profound impact on me. We had many prayer times as a work group while we were in New Orleans. I can remember women from the Mercy ships that were young women who were nurses. They prayed so energetically and with passion that it just caught my attention and challenged me. It energized me. And this started a passion for me to serve God. When I got home, I felt the significant load of life again. The first Sunday back, I sat in church and I prayed with a passion and energy to Jesus that I hadn't been given him before. I knew he died, he went to the grave and ascended to heaven for me personally, and I acknowledge it to him. This was the time I would say I truly gave my life to Christ. I then prayed for this heavy burden on me to be lifted. All I can say is he gave me an amazing response. Immediately, my weight was lifted, and I have been changed ever since. Life got so much better. I eventually met a wonderful woman, Karen, who you saw on the screen. I got married, and we share a God-centered life together. I was baptized because of her influence, Otterbein Church in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. Thank you, my darling. I always reflect on a Bible verse that has profound meaning for me. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. Thank you.
Good morning. I never remember a time as a child where my parents were not modeling a Christian life for me and my brother. So, Mom and Dad, thank you. They had us also signed up for every single activity there possibly could be. We were there Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. If there was revival, we'd be dropped off and left there because of their work schedule. We were always in church. All that to say, I knew the gospel. I knew who Jesus was. I knew he was my Savior. But I had not made a decision to accept him. There was not a defining moment or a life event. I honestly don't even remember the day. I was 7. That's all I remember. One night, during our normal bedtime routine, after good nights, I told my dad, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. At the time, I didn't quite understand why he started crying or why he said that is the most beautiful thing he has ever heard. As a parent, I totally get it. We prayed, and I remember going to sleep thinking, well, I think that means I'm a Christian. But as I grew older, my relationship with Christ did as well. In middle school, when my pastor asked, do you want to get baptized? Want to make a public statement of your relationship with Christ? I said, absolutely. So on a hot August day in a campground pool, I was baptized. Now, as an adult, nothing has done more for my spiritual formation as getting married and having two daughters and being daily reminded to have not only the need for, but also how difficult it can be at times to be a reflection of God's love and to act in love. Church membership to me is not just church family accepting me, but me taking ownership as an active participant of this community. And I also want to say thank you since day one, for all of you all being so welcoming of my family.
When I began to know God, his love and promises for me made sense. However, before this time and growing up, everything was just so confusing. I did not understand who God was and whether I was supposed to believe in Jesus or not. I grew up in a household where my mom is Jewish and my dad is Catholic. So we were taught a little bit of every religion. We also celebrated all of the holidays. I did not know what to believe or if I should believe. We never went to church or a synagogue, except for the time my grandmother secretly baptized me and my siblings as infants without my parents' permission. Yeah. I was also the type of kid who was very introverted, and I did not feel like there was much purpose to my life. One day when I was 17 years old, I had my weekly piano lesson. My teacher, Mrs. Samuel, had just resumed classes after her husband and daughter suddenly died due to tragic events. She lost everything. I sat at the piano and I said to her, "How are you alive right now? How are you able to hold these piano lessons? If it were me, I'd want to kill myself." That's when Mrs. Samuel told me about who God was in her life, how he loved her, and how he was always with her. She started reading the Bible to me, and suddenly things started to make sense. There began to be clarity and purpose spoken over my life. Since knowing more about God's promises for me and my family, I've learned what it means to love Jesus and to love like Jesus. He has also been showing us about the precious gift of life through his miracles. Right before our youngest daughter, Zoe, was born, we learned that there was a high percentage that both her life and my life that we would not survive, but God. We got the neat gift of naming her Zoe, which means life, as that is the beautiful gift God gave us through his miracles in her and my life. We are so excited to become members here at EBIC. Thank you for welcoming us so sweetly into your family here. We don't take this membership lightly, and we are excited for what this means for our family. We are also excited to see the different ways God continues to reveal himself in our new season of life.
Hi, I'm Norma Martinez, and excuse me if I might be a little emotional. I'm very happy to be here. On October 3rd, 1962, I turned 2 years old. My mother had made it a point to make me memorize Psalms 23rd and the Lord's Prayer by that date. I grew up in a household where my father was a non-Christian, but my mother was a godly woman. She taught her teachings, and her taking me to church is what helped me as a very young child to overcome the various abuse that I was going to be subject to. My father was a very abusive man, forcing me to spend what I thought were hours in a dark closet as punishment. During these times, I relied on Psalms 23rd. It comforted me. At the age of 5 1/2, I was separated from my mother for 1 year. I spent a year in Mexico with relatives when she came to the United States. I endured physical and sexual abuse at the hands of those that were supposed to be caring for me. With scripture in my heart, I was able to overcome the darkness that I was in. After joining my mother in the United States, my father was also present. Physical and mental abuse continued until he died at the age of when I was 16. If it wasn't that I went to church and I heard God telling me that I was his precious and loving child, which I didn't hear at home from my earthly father, I wouldn't be here standing in front of you. It was through those times at church where I could hear my Heavenly Father saying that I was a good person and a good child. With the scripture in my heart, I was able to overcome all the dark places. I would have hated to have thought of what would have happened to me if I hadn't had a relationship at such an early age. This relationship kept me safe from the influence of the world and gave me strength to overcome the darkness that I experienced. Knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior has always made me grow, has allowed me to grow and mature spiritually in every aspect of my life. My husband and I have been married for 41 years, and we have two wonderful Christian sons who are married now to godly women, and our grandchildren are being raised to follow God's path. In my life, I have experienced joy in the mountaintops as well as in the deep valleys. This is all because of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, my all in all. Thank you very much for making us feel so welcome here.
Good morning, church. My name is Renee Martinez, and my testimony is the three you've heard before me. I went to church as a child and as an early teen. I went to church because I was made to go. It was what my mom and grandmother did, so I went along. As I became a teen, I attended when I felt like going, and shortly thereafter stopped going completely. Even after I met my wife and we started dating, I only went to church because she made me go. I never desired to go. I never desired to get to know God in a personal way. After getting married, not only did I not go, but I also managed to find ways to keep my wife from attending church. I did not know it at the time, but my wife was praying that someone would come into my life that would influence me to go to church because she was not able to accomplish that. In the summer of 1989, God brought a gentleman named Mark into our lives. Mark worked for the same company as I did, and at that time, I did not know that this would be the person that would set the example that God should be first. Mark invited us to a church event and invited us to go to church with him, but I refused. My wife and children started attending without me, as I was still being stubborn. I finally made a decision to go, but not because I wanted a relationship with God. I didn't want my wife upset with me. For the next 3 years, I fought God. He was drawing me closer to him, and all I wanted to do was run away. In the spring of 1992, we were living in Atlanta when I went to an event on a Sunday morning where my wife and children went to church. God had other plans for that Sunday because I could not find the event, but I could hear it. I could not find the road to lead me to it. It almost seemed as though God was pushing away from that event, and I realized I needed to be at church. I drove back to Atlanta and went to church. I walked in and sat down next to my family, and I'll never forget the look on my wife's face when I sat down. It was minutes later I surrendered my heart, my way, and my will to God, and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I regret all the years that I wasted trying to ignore and avoid God. How I wish I would have never have done that. I'm constantly growing and learning to give things to God. Even though there have been struggles, I know my life is now more complete now that He is in it and I'm fully surrendered to Him. He has been key to the relationships that I have with my wife, my sons, my daughter-in-laws, and now my grandchildren. I turn and look to God for everything and look forward to what He has ahead. Had I not accepted God as my Savior, I feel my life would be dark. I would be lost in a world of negativity, and honestly, I know I would have lost my wife and my children if I had not turned my heart of stone over to God. Thank you for being so welcoming. We truly feel at home.
As they're coming, the whole group of them now, would you give them thanks again for sharing their stories? Beautiful stories of interfaith expressed outwardly through ups and downs in all kinds of circumstances. And we give thanks to God for that. And so we are pleased to welcome you into the membership of this church. And I want to invite you to make your commitment to us as we commit ourselves to you through the sharing of our membership covenant. The covenant reads in this way: in making this covenant as a member of the Brethren in Christ Church, I accept the Bible as the Word of God, which reveals the way of salvation and guides me in what to believe and how to live. I testify that I have personally experienced God's saving grace through Jesus Christ, and that I seek to live a holy life that is fully devoted to Christ. If you are willing to agree to these statements, would you say, I do? The covenant continues, I pledge that as a member of the Elizabethtown BIC congregation, I will be dedicated to this church family. I will be open to the teaching of the Bible, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and the counsel of the church. I will pray for, worship with, and give to the church. I will use whatever gifts God has given me to participate in the ministry and the mission of the church. With God's help, I will always seek to foster a spirit of Christian fellowship and unity within the church. And if you are willing to accept these commitments, would you say, I will? Of course, we don't expect them to do it perfectly, but they are making their commitment to us that this is how they want to be part of our family. And for them to be able to follow through on these commitments of membership, it's going to take support, it's going to take encouragement, and maybe even an occasional reminder to them of what they have committed to. And so if you, who are members of the church, would be willing to covenant with them, that you will support them in this inner commitment that they are making and the outward fruit that will come from it. If you, who are members of the church, are willing to commit to them in that way, would you stand? And let's join together in prayer. Lord, we thank you for how you work in our lives. It's an amazing thing that at times when we're willing and at times when we're not, when we are excited, when we're enthusiastic, when we want to know you, and when we are far from you, you are still working, you are still drawing. You are working through circumstances of all kinds in our lives. You're working through all kinds of people, and you work through your church, that your name, Jesus, might be known, that your truth in the scriptures might be taught, and that we might walk in your ways. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the unique stories of these eight and for the ways that you have worked in their lives to bring them to this point of uniting them with us as a church family. I'm thankful for their willingness to make this commitment and to see it for what it is, as this inward commitment that is lived out. And I pray that by the power of your Spirit, that you would fill them, that you would enable them to live into these commitments that they have made, not on their own power, but by the power of your presence in them. And I pray that we as a church family, oh God, would embrace them, would embrace their children and grandchildren, that we would make space in our hearts, in our groups, in our ministries, that we would make space for them and we would welcome them and we would support them in following through on these commitments that they have made. And may we together, Jesus, honor you and live for you and glorify you and further your work in the world and see your name proclaimed and your mission accomplished. And we look forward to how you will do it in Jesus' name. Amen.